Hey everybody, Daniel here. And as a pastor with Meridian Church of God, we want to thank you for listening to our podcast. We hope that you are encouraged and inspired by this message. Enjoy! When do you feel lonely? Now, all of us are unique individuals who are wired differently. And for me personally, I don't often feel lonely when I am all by myself. The times when I feel the most alone are when I am surrounded by people but feel like an outsider. There was a best-selling book called Wonder that was also made into a movie. Wonder paints a picture of loneliness that resonates with me. It is about a boy named Augie with severe facial deformities who goes to a public school for the first time. At school, he is treated like an outsider. Lunch is particularly painful as Augie eats alone in a crowded cafeteria full of students who do not want to sit with him. One of the most painful human experiences is to feel like an outsider. Now, whether it's from our family, our school, workplace, church, team, group, or neighborhood, it can really sting when you don't feel like you belong. Now seems like a good time to say that if you are with us right now and you are not a Christian, we want you to know that we are glad you are here with us. We respect you and hope that even if you don't buy into everything we're talking about, that you will experience a sense of belonging with us. Today, we're in week 4 of a series that looks at the messengers behind the gospel message, and we are trying to learn what made them effective. The messenger we're going to look at today is Matthew. Who was Matthew? Matthew is a gospel writer that we know the least about. Here's a quick sketch of most of what we know. Matthew was one of Jesus' 12 disciples. He wrote one of the 4 Gospels, and he was a tax collector. Today, we're going to look at the one story we have about Matthew. Matthew 9:9-10 says, "As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. 'Follow me,' Jesus told Matthew, and Matthew got up and followed him." I don't think we have a good comparable example that can communicate how most people in Jesus' day viewed tax collectors. To try to get a sense for how most people felt about tax collectors, listen to this note from the Archaeological Study Bible. "In addition to being labeled traitors, tax collectors were notorious for their dishonesty. They could not serve as witnesses or judges and were expelled from the synagogue. In the eyes of the Jewish community, their disgrace extended even to their families." That Jesus would have chosen as his disciple a Jewish tax collector who was in the employ of the Roman government is indeed remarkable. Tax collectors were bitterly hated by their own countrymen. Now, in case you didn't catch what the commentary said, almost everyone hated tax collectors, and yet Jesus called a tax collector to follow him. The New Testament includes 3 different lists that name the 12 disciples, which are found in the books of Matthew, Mark, and Acts. Now, Matthew is named in all 3 lists, and it's interesting that in Matthew's list, he decided to add next to his own name a label, Matthew the Tax Collector. Now, he was basically saying, "I was an outsider who was despised by the rest of the group." In Matthew chapter 9, verse 10, says, "While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples." Now, Jesus seemed to be comfortable having dinner at Matthew's house with all the tax collectors and sinners who showed up. Now, it's interesting how people who were not much like Jesus liked Jesus. Now, even though Jesus seemed to be having a great time at Matthew's house, it's unlikely that all of his disciples were enjoying the festivities. One theory about Matthew collecting taxes is that he collected taxes for fish that were caught in the Sea of Galilee. Tax collectors were known to extract a heavy toll on struggling Galilean fishermen. Now, at least 4 of Jesus' disciples, Peter, Andrew, James, and John, were Galilean fishermen who provided for their unwealthy families by fishing in the Sea of Galilee. Those guys lived humbly. And at Matthew's house, they see firsthand how he lived in luxury while his greed and treachery left them struggling to provide for their families. The fishermen probably were not exactly thrilled to be at Matthew's house. And there was another disciple who may have been particularly upset. In Matthew's list of disciples, he wasn't the only one who had a label. There was another, Simon the Zealot. Now, what does that mean? Well, the Zealots were a political party that hated the Roman occupation of Israel to the degree that they were advocates for violence against Rome and the traitors who collected taxes for Rome. In other words, Simon the Zealot wanted to hurt Matthew. But to be fair, it probably wasn't just the zealot and the tax fishermen who were upset. Odds are that about all the disciples were unhappy as they watched Jesus make himself at home with Matthew. Then it says in Matthew 9:11, when the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, "Hey, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" Today, Pharisee is used to convey a legalistic and judgmental person. But in those days, the Pharisees were a well-respected Jewish faction. They were largely viewed by the public as the group of people who were upright and faithful and serious about obeying God and the scriptures. Now, many of the Pharisees of Jesus' day were threatened by Jesus' popularity, and consequently, they were the faction that clashed with Jesus the most. They were often looking for an angle to expose Jesus and take him down. Now, here it seems as though the Pharisees see an opportunity to drive a wedge between Jesus and his disciples, who were upset about the dinner at Matthew's house. The fact that all three synoptic gospel writers, synoptic means similar, and those were Matthew, Mark, and Luke, all three writers include the story that about Matthew following Jesus. Now, it just shows how memorable the event was to all of them. It's interesting that the Pharisees here don't challenge Jesus directly. They challenge the disciples to speak up for Jesus. And the disciples decline the offer to speak up for Jesus. I mean, why would they? In addition to personally detesting tax collectors, it was social suicide to embrace a group that pretty much everyone hated. Now, by embracing tax collectors, Jesus ran the risk of losing his popularity with the crowds. None of the disciples tried to defend Jesus' action here. So Jesus answered for himself. Listen to Matthew 9:12-13. On hearing this, Jesus said, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." Imagine how Matthew felt when he penned those words of Jesus. I have to think that tears were streaming down his face as he remembered the moment when Jesus stood up to all the respectable people and spoke on his behalf. When Jesus made this statement, Matthew's life would never be the same. Matthew had spent his whole adult life as an outsider. He saw the way that people looked at him with disgust. He heard the ridicule of the community. He was used to being left out and excluded. And then there is an amazing person named Jesus who comes around, and everyone wants to be around Jesus. And to Matthew's utter shock, Jesus does something completely unexpected and singles out Matthew, asking him to follow. Before Jesus, no one ever really wanted Matthew to be around, but Jesus did. And then Jesus does the unthinkable, goes to Matthew's house for dinner. And Jesus seems to like Matthew and enjoy being with him. It's the best day of Matthew's life. But then out of the corner of his eye, Matthew notices the disciples and Pharisees whispering. From their body language, Matthew knew they were doing what a lot of other people did. They were talking about him. It was too much to hope for Matthew that Jesus would stand up for him, stand up to the disciples and Pharisees on his behalf. When Jesus spoke up, I imagine Matthew was just waiting to be rejected. Maybe this whole thing had been a setup. Maybe Jesus could make a point here about how bad tax collectors were. That would get him popularity points. I mean, there were times in the Old Testament when people threw pretend parties in order to kill the one they were pretending to celebrate. Maybe this is the time when Jesus is going to side with Simon the Zealot and overthrow Rome and tax collectors. But instead of throwing Matthew under the bus, Jesus speaks up for him and says, "It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I've not come to call righteous, but sinners." That moment was so powerful to Matthew that it is the only story Matthew wanted to have told about him. This is Matthew's defining moment. I want to pause a moment to examine how Matthew's telling of Jesus' calling of him was different than what Luke and Mark had to write about it. First, we'll start with his name. In the story, Mark and Luke call him Levi. Matthew calls himself Matthew. This indicates that he was born with the name Levi, but he changed his name to Matthew, meaning gift of Yahweh or gift of the Lord, after Jesus called him to follow. Now, all three accounts are similar, with just a few small variations. I want to look at a couple of words that Luke adds to the story in Luke 5, 27 through 28. After this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting at his tax booth. "Follow me," Jesus said to him. And Levi got up, and here it is, left everything and followed him. Matthew was too modest to say it, but Luke tells us that Matthew left everything to follow Jesus. The IVP commentary series observes, "Jesus seeks the outsider." Here, Jesus offers a picture of true repentance. It's like going to a doctor for help. The cure, if it is to come, must come from outside of oneself. A repentant heart is open to God and to his administering the necessary medicine for life. When tax collectors and sinners come to the table in the clinic, Jesus, the great physician, is not about to turn them away. Jesus reaches out to all types of needy people. All can benefit from the power of his healing presence. If you would like to be like Matthew and experience true repentance and belonging, I would like to invite you to join me in a prayer. God, you are good. My heart needs a surgeon. My soul needs a friend. I turn to you and I accept Christ's invitation to follow. My mind and heart are open to the Spirit of God's presence and guidance. Thank you for welcoming me and giving me belonging. In Jesus' name, amen. The story of Matthew is of a man who learned that his true belongings were not his possessions, but his relationships. After Jesus welcomed him, he left everything. He exchanged his vast personal belongings for a sense of belonging. Today, as we reflect on how to apply the message to our lives, I want to encourage you to be like Matthew and seek to find and give significance with belonging more than belongings. Now, what made Matthew so effective as a messenger? Interestingly, what made Matthew so hated is also what made him so effective. As a tax collector, Matthew was trained at keeping records. So he was the disciple who took notes when Jesus was speaking. It's Matthew's gospel that preserves many of the teachings of Jesus. He was loyal to Jesus and used his skills to preserve those teachings of the man who changed his life. Matthew was effective because he used his gifts and talents for the kingdom of God, not to acquire belongings, but to express that belonging. Matthew wasn't trying to be the greatest or the most popular or most successful. After spending years being an outsider, Matthew was content with just being one of the group. He didn't care about promoting himself. His life revolved around the one who had welcomed him. One particular teaching that only Matthew gives us is Jesus' famous parable of the sheep and the goats. In the parable, people are divided into two groups. The sheep are welcomed by the king because they welcomed him, and the goats are sent away by the king because they had neglected him. Both groups wonder aloud about when they had encountered the king, and the king surprisingly reveals that he appeared to them as the least of these. And it was how they treated the outsider that determined how the king was going to treat them. As we close, I wanted to use one of the lines from this parable that Matthew would have loved writing. In Matthew 25:35. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. In the book Wonder, Augie eats lunch alone as an outsider in a crowded cafeteria full of kids who think that he is a freak to be avoided. Till one day, when a kind girl named Summer risks her reputation by inviting Augie to have lunch with her. And that is the moment where everything started to change for him. Because of Summer's courageous act of friendship, Augie eventually became a valued member of his school community where he would experience belonging. I was a stranger and you invited me in. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, holy is your name. In our search to belong, we all know what it's like to feel like an outsider. We are thankful that Jesus was sent to bring people like us to be part of your kingdom. Thank you for desiring mercy over sacrifice and for coming for the sick, the excluded, the imprisoned, the poor, and the stranger. Please lead us to find belonging and to help others experience the sense of belonging that we all need. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for listening to the Meridian Church of God podcast. If you would like to subscribe, you can find us on iTunes or other podcast services. Please like us on our Facebook page as we offer videos and other content. We also have messages and information posted on our website, MeridianChog, that's MeridianChog.org. We appreciate this opportunity to connect with you. May God bless you, and may you be a blessing.